الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وتوبوا إلى الله جميعا أيها المؤمنون لعلكم تفلحون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. My respected علماء elders, brothers in Islam, one of the beautiful sifat and qualities which was taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself made dua for was that of chastity, purity. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-t-tuqa wa-l-afafa wa-l-ghina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the quality of chastity. And even the non-Muslim people in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that Islam teaches modesty and chastity. Hiraqal, when he called Abu Sufyan, who was not a Sahabi radiallahu, later he became a Sahabi, he asked him, what does your Nabi teach? What does Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach? So he said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teaches the people as salat, wa sadaqa, wa al-afaf, wa sila. He teaches the people to perform salah, to give charity, to be pure and chaste, and to join family ties. So even the kuffar and disbelievers in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that Islam teaches chastity and modesty. Subhanallah, there are so many virtues which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding chastity and purity. And on the other hand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the harms of not having a chaste life and a pure life. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, Ya Futyana Quraysh, Ya Shabab Quraysh, O the youngsters of the Quraysh, La Taznu. One hadith comes, La Taznu. Do not make zina, do not fornicate. Because the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects, his youth, takhal al-jannah, he will enter into Jannah. One hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya shabab Quraysh, ihfadu furujakum, wa la taznu. Ala man hafidha farjahu, falahu al-jannah. A person who protects his chastity and his modesty, for him is Jannah. Subhanallah. One hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually boasts to the angels, look at my banda, unzuru ila abdi, taraka shahwatahu min ajli. He had the desires within himself to commit every kind of guna. That cell phone was in his hand. It was easy for that person now to open that cell phone. But he says, Allah is watching me. Allah says, look at my banda. Allah ta'ala posts to the angels, look at my banda and servant. For my pleasure, he is living out his desires. He is walking in the street and that beautiful woman is walking past him. And it's so easy for that person now to look at her, to commit any guna he wants to with her. She is actually calling that person. But he says, Inni akhafu Allah, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this world already, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors him. Allah ta'ala is boasting to the angels that look at my banda and servant, how for my love and pleasure he is living out his sin. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will specially honor that person. Under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shade of Allah ta'ala's arsh, seven groups of people, there will be many other groups, but these special seven groups will be under the shade of Allah ta'ala's arsh. One of them is that youngster who grew up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other is that youngster. And today, youngster, 40, 30, 40 years, he's still a youngster. That woman calls him of jamal, hasab, status, and purity, I mean, of beauty and of wealth. And she says, come to me. And he says, Inni akhafullah, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, on the day of Qiyamah, I will honor you. You're getting Jannah. You're getting the shade under Allah ta'ala's arsh. And a person is getting the honor in this world where the angels are actually honoring that person. Subhanallah, this is when a person, he has got the quality of chastity and modesty. In the one kitab, At-Targhib At-Tarheeb, not of Allama Mundiri Rahmatullah Ali, it's a famous one. There's another kitab, At-Targhib At-Tarheeb, of Allama Yafi'i Rahmatullah Ali, which is a tasawuf kitab. An incident is mentioned of one youngster. That once he was extremely handsome. So one day one lady came to his shop, she wanted to buy something. After buying the goods, so that old lady said, you have to come to the house where my mistress is, and we'll give you the money. So he says, he continued, he followed her, and he came to the house. And she was a woman of extreme beauty. When he went in the house, he was completely shocked. So she closed the door and she said, you have to fulfill my desires. You have to do haram. And you cannot leave this house without fulfilling that haram. So he himself, Ya Allah, I'm a chaste person. How am I going to get out of this? So he thought to himself, how can I save myself from evil and immorality?
So then he goes, he says, okay, I have to go relieve myself first. So she allows him. He goes up to one room. She sends the servants to go and take him to one room. He goes there, and all the filth and dirt, the impurity, napaki, stool, he takes it and applies it on his body. He wants to save himself from guna and sin. So he said, like, I'm prepared to take the filth of the outward filth and dirt, but I'm not prepared to destroy my iman. So anyhow, he comes out of the room. This woman sees him. She gets angry. She screams, you're a madman. Open the door and chase him out of the house. So anyhow, they chase him out of the house. He's got one dirham in his pocket. He goes with that one dirham. He goes and buys some soap. And he washes himself. He goes into the river. And he washes himself. And he comes out of the river and he's walking past one person. The person says, you smell very nice today. This person is mocking me, he's laughing at me. He asks another person, see, you're smelling very nice today. See, this person is also mocking me. That night he goes and he has a dream and he sleeps away. And he sees Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam coming to tell him, are you still in doubt? Because for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, you save yourself from haram. You made such an effort to save yourself from haram. Allah Ta'ala has put your body now full of musk. Until the time you will die, you will live in this world. Allah will honor you with this, that the smell of musk will come from your body. And the minute you die, you will enter into Jannah. SubhanAllah, a person who protected his youth and chased it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So really Allah ta'ala give myself and all of us tawfiq. We know at the present moment there is this coronavirus. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sadiq al-Mazduq, the most truthful of people, he said that there are five things. When you are tested by them, Allah protects you from being tested by them. He said, لَمْ تَظْهَرِ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ قَتُّ حَتَّى يُعْلِنُوا بِهَا إِلَّا فَشَى فِيهِمُ الطَّاعُونَ وَالْأَوْجَاعَ الَّتِي لَمْ تَكُنْ مَدَتْ مِنْ فِي أَسْلَامِهِمَ الَّذِينَ مَذَوْا. Whenever immorality becomes apparent in any nation, so much so openly people are immoral, they are immodest, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send ta'un and plague and such sicknesses which your people never heard about in the past. These things will come down. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّ السُّوءَ إِذَا فَشَى فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَمْ يُنْتَهَى عَنْهُ. When evil and immorality becomes common in the earth, and nobody is stopping them from this evil and immorality, no one is speaking about it, there is no bayan about it, no one hears about it. I remember once, most likely it was Sheikh Muhammad Awama, Tawun Barakatum, once he gave a bayan in Madrasa Zakaria, and he mentioned that in Syria, when the ulama were having many, many discussions, and they were speaking about high, high things, finer, finer details of things. So one alim went there, and he said, when I walked out of the masjid, I see so much of immorality, the woman, how they are walking, how they are dressed, and nothing is happening in the masjid. No one is discussing these things. They are going to fine, fine details and discussing masalas which have got no effect on the people. He said, I said that Allah Ta'ala's azab is very close to these people. He said, 1 year after that, Bashar Assad and his people came and he started killing all the people. He said, he told the people, he gave them a bayan that time in Syria. He said that I can see Allah's azab coming upon you people because no one is stopping the people from all of these things. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith, when evil spread in the earth and nobody is not prevented and prohibited, Allah Ta'ala will send down his punishment on the people of the land. And then I told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha says, even if there are pious people among them, Nabi said, even if there are pious people among them, the difficulty and calamity will afflict all the people. But those people who will pass away, Allah Ta'ala will take them to His maqsirat and Allah Ta'ala will take them to His mercy. But the azab of Allah Ta'ala will come down upon every single person, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a difficulty, calamity, Allah Ta'ala sends down the conditions upon people. So we will, inshallah, today I want to discuss a few important aspects which is happening in our society and generally even amongst us people who come to the Khanka, who spend time in Tabligh, who are in a madrasa, in a Darul Ulum. Outside the people are unfortunately involved in open zina. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned about zina and fornication. There are many, many harms. The one, that as soon as a person involves himself in zina, لا يزني زاني حين يزني وهو مؤمنون. He doesn't remain a believer. As long as he's committing fornication and zina, he doesn't remain, iman doesn't remain in his heart. The Sahaba asked, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, explain to us, where's the iman then? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, it comes up. يَكُونُ هَكَذَا وَقَالَ بِكَفِّهِ فَوْقَ رَأْسِهِ. He made ishara with his hands above his head. It comes out of the person. And then said, فَإِن تَعْبَ وَنَزَعَ رَجَعَ إِلَيْهِ. If a person makes tawbah, and he comes out of that sin, then that iman comes back to that person. Imagine a person's iman leaves, a person's iman is coming out of a person's body. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, when a man makes zina, خرج منه الإيمان. Iman comes out of that person. فكان عليك ذلة. It becomes like a shadow over that person. فإن انقلع منها رجع إليه الإيمان. But once he comes out of the zina, then that iman comes back to that person in a low, in a much weaker form. Imagine a person's iman leaving him because he's involved in this here. One hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Azina yurithul faqr." It creates poverty. People go through great difficulty in this world. They got so much of money, but they're never ever happy and content in life. And sometimes real poverty comes into people. Hazrat Mullah Shah Hakim Muhammad Rasul Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhin, he's written in his kitab, the incidents which he saw in his own life of people who were extremely wealthy. They lost everything in their life, all their money, because of zina. One hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when zina and riba interest become apparent in the people, they have made halal upon themselves the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the disgrace and embarrassment, the punishment in the akhirah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown when he went for mi'raj. He says, I came to an oven, and the top section was very narrow, and the bottom was broad. There was a huge fire burning at the bottom. As the fire would rise, they would all fly back up, all men and women, completely naked. And as the fire would come to the top, they would be bubbling and boiling there, and then they would eventually go down. And I could hear the screams, and all the shouting, and the noise. And in one narration, it says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw the bodies had swelled, and the most foul, vile and foul stench emanated. Every one of them was smelling like a stinking toilet. And he asked Jibreel alayhi salam, who are these people? He says, these are the fornicators. These are the people who made zina, who destroyed themselves. So may Allah Ta'ala protect us. This is a very evil thing. In one hadith it comes, Allah Ta'ala will send a snake over that person on the day of Qiyamah. The snake will be the companion of that person. He thought in this world he's sleeping and hugging like one woman. But actually in fact he was hugging one snake. And that serpent will remain with the person on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala protect us from that day. So inshallah we will just discuss a few common causes of zina. لا تقربوا الزنا. Allah says, don't even come close to zina. Zina is very far-fetched. But even the causes which will lead a person towards zina, a person has to abstain from it. One is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that no one of you must ever remain in solitude with a woman. But if you are remaining in solitude with a woman, the third one amongst you is shaitan. Today, in many of our homes, we have servants. People don't worry, there's no hijab, there's no laws. We say, no, this woman, she's not from my race, she's not of my type. So there's nothing wrong with me. I can have her in my house, and there's no hijab, no laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are broken. Or we've got a garden boy. Or in many houses, unfortunately, we've got, nowadays we have cooks in the houses. In other countries, we heard about it before, in neighboring countries. But now even in South Africa, unfortunately, many people have got their cooks, and the boy is working with the auntie in the house. She comes in a samira. She wears parda out of the house. She wears a hijab. But in the house, with the worker who is working there, she feels, no, he's just a worker. So she's intermingling with him, talking with him, laughing with him, joking with him. So as we are bringing the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon ourselves. And many people saying, I don't feel nothing at all. Nothing happens to me. One of Ali mentioned very beautifully, kuch na hona aur cheez hai, aur ihsas na hona dusre cheez hai. One is a person, there's nothing happens. And one is a person can't feel something happening. Your clothing is full of blackness, completely black, and you put another black dot, you can't see anything in there. So that person whose heart is completely full of black and dirt, he doesn't feel anything in his heart. But definitely there is something happening in that person's heart. So one is our servants, one is our secretaries. A man, Allah has given him a very big shop. The person owns a cash and carry. A person is the owner of a big, huge company he's got. But we must have a woman secretary there. I must have my woman secretary. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi once in reunion, he gave a bayan about this. Yeah. And he spoke, he said that if you're a doctor, actually he said that don't even treat female patients. He said, a doctor, you have a higher female doctor. She must be separate completely. He said, half her earnings you'll get only. But he said, you'll make Allah Ta'ala happy. And Allah will give you barakat in that half earnings, which is much more than taking all of that earnings. So how many of us in our shops, at least the object of speaking about this, maybe we don't change immediately, but at least a thought must come into my mind that I'm doing wrong. Have I ever made tawbah for this year? Many of us, we ourselves go to shops. At least I'm speaking about myself. We go to shops and we see this haram taking place. Once ever in our life, did we come out of the shop, Ya Allah, these people are breaking your commands. We never have the guts to even tell that person. The lowest level of iman is, did we ever feel bad in our hearts? We go to all of the shops, we're taking a walk in the streets. Do we ever feel bad? We see women walking without hijab. We see Allah's commands being broken. We don't even think about it. Sometimes we make a mock about it. They went to the shop, hey, that woman is very pretty. They got a very good person there. We see he's doing a wrong thing, but we make a mock of it. So really, the number one, our servants, our secretaries, our work colleagues. One woman says, I was working, I used to cover myself properly. My friends told me, you know what, everyone will regard you with backward. When you got that parda on, you look so nice, they were wondering what behind, rather remove your niqab. So she said, I removed my niqab, and then I started speaking to the people, but I was always like very particular. But as the time goes, eventually, you start falling. So she said, I didn't want the people to think I'm a snobbish person, and they start thinking bad about me. So I started joining the conversations. She said, I was a very chaste woman, a pure woman. But I saw the manager, how his heart was changing, how when I used to speak, his eyes used to light up, and he used to start asking me questions just to start a conversation. See, I was a chaste person, he was a happily married person, but sometimes the thought even came into my heart that maybe I must have an affair with this person. See, I should repel the thought, but then I realized in my life that this intermingling can never be bring any kind of goodness. It's only fitna upon fitna. So she writes a whole incident there, that how much of fitna this is. So really, this is one thing. Secondly, our schools, our makatib, our girls' madrasas, our Hazrat Hakim Sahib, one is the schools which we are going to. Allah give tawfiq that we can create such systems where our girls go to only girls' school. They're learning only with girls. There are no male ustaz, no male teachers at all. Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was very particular. Even girls' madrasas, there must be no male ustaz at all. Hazrat Dani rahmatullahi alayhi is one khalifa. Manana Jaladri rahmatullahi alayhi, he opened the girls' madrasa. There was no alimas, whatever to teach there. So he taught the first batch of students. And once they qualified, he said, right now, the most intelligent of those girls, they take over the madrasa. And because there was a necessity, there was no one to teach them. So he taught them the first round. After that, he said, now the girls must take full responsibility over themselves. If they say, Balampuri has mentioned the same thing, that for the first round, we can understand if there is no environment at all, there is no ulama, alimas. But he said, after that, there is no need for males to teach the females. Why must my daughter learn by a male? There is a lot of hijab. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she taught the sahaba, she never taught, there wasn't dars taking place. One person comes and asks her one question, she mentions one hadith. It wasn't the dars where a boy is speaking to the ustad is speaking to the girl, he's laughing, he's joking, he knows every single girl in the class, her name. So this is also a fitna, we're learning in the name of deen. But unfortunately, in our girls' madrasas, this is happening where there are male ustad. So we have to, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, we can work towards it here. Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah gave a bayan in South Africa, and he mentioned the same thing. He said, this is full of fitna, and there's not real much goodness in that day. Person is teaching females, Allah protect, he's teaching Quran Sharif, but he's listening to the voice of that woman, she's reading Qirat for him, and he's going into a hal, an ecstasy, or some ashar she's reading, and he's listening to this here. Every person has to look at his nafs. Hazrat Anu rahmatullah alayhi said, this is for Islam, for myself also, for all of us. Hazrat Anu rahmatullah alayhi said, when a woman writes a letter to me, and I have to answer that letter, I make tawbah after that day. He said, because I can feel a bit of happiness comes into my heart that this lady wrote a letter to me. So he said, because those people's hearts were pure, so they could actually feel it. He said, I make tawbah after that day. So today we're teaching in a maktab, we're teaching wherever it is, we're teaching females, and he said, nothing happens to me. This is a deception. So Allah Ta'ala give tawfiq also in our schools also. We see how our daughters, once a girl reaches the age of bulugh, for her to remain in any school where there are boys and girls intermingling, this is completely haram. Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, we taught my daughter Surah Waqiyah. She can never become face poverty in life. And the Prophet said, whoever did Surah Waqiyah every night, lam tusibu faqatun abada, poverty will never come to that person. I don't need my daughter to go to university. I don't need her to finish her matric. And she must be with boys and girls and every one of them together in the classroom. So this is completely incorrect. It's not permissible. So all of us, we should think about it. If we are doing this wrong, Allah give us tawfiq, watubu ilallahi jami'an. Allah says, all of you have to make tawbah. In whatever levels and level we are, how can we better ourselves? Then, regarding the cell phones, we have spoken also about that so many people, one person with a beard, pious person, father of two children, dressed in Islamic clothing, 2 o'clock at night his wife wakes up. He's busy with the cell phone. Whose message? What are you reading? He said, you're suspecting me. She said, well, let me see your phone. She said, no, I'm just reading a friend's message. Later she checks the phone, she sees he's talking to another woman at night. So then he asked, he said, no, I wasn't talking to her, I was just on the porn site. A'udhu billah. See, so this is the people of deen, and we are sitting and watching all of these things. Television, as Murad al-Hamid Sadam Barakatuh mentioned, that when Ali Amil mentioned to him, that if you want to create jadu in your house, if you want to create jadu, you take the most purest of things, Quran Sharif, and you put it in the toilet, which is the most filthiest of things, you'll get jadu created there. Hazrat Murana mentioned that, similarly, we've got TV in our houses. You've got a TV, you've got Ayatul Kursi on top. The most purest of things were the most filthiest of things. You're joining the two together, so what are you going to get? Jadu in the house, fighting, hatred for one another. And then you say, what's happening in my house? Somebody else put jadu. You are making your own jadu in the house. I went to one person's house, I told him this. I saw that Ayatul Kursi on top, I saw the TV at the bottom. And I said, brother, you know, this is happening. You're creating jadu in your own house. Next time I went to the house, the Ayatul Kursi was removed. The TV was there. Allah forgive us. See, how far we are from deen. It's really something to cry about. That I'll give preference to my dunya. But the deen, the Ayatul Kursi, Allah Ta'ala's kalam, I won't remove that there. But I'll remove that, but I'll leave the TV in the houses. So the TV in our houses, how can we expect the mercy of Allah Ta'ala? And today the TV has come in our hands. The cell phone. And many of us, alhamdulillah, we don't watch TV. But when the messages come, the WhatsApp messages, and now there is something showing, person presses the day and he's watching the TV. They've got us in another way. They have deceived us. Everyone is watching. We're sending clips to one another. And automatically, you don't realize it, but slowly, slowly, then a person starts eventually falling into guna. First, he only watches men. Only bayans. Even watching the men is not permissible. But only, I'm only watching a bayan. And then slowly, slowly, one picture of one woman comes. He sees her legs there. He sees some portion of her body. Automatically, a person falls. So that's also, we have to look after ourselves, protect ourselves. Each person must look to himself. Another aspect also, friends. Intermingling of friends. This is, we're at home, we just got a family gathering, or we people, men and women, they've got their families or friends all together. There's one lady right there, the woman over 40, she says, I lived a very modest life with my husband. We never had so much of closeness, because my husband didn't have a strong personality. But I overlooked him, we were living together. Often he used to mention the name of his business friend, and talk about him in my presence, and slowly we started meeting, he used to come there, family visits, we didn't notice how our number of visits increased. And how many times I would sit with him, my husband, he would sit with us, all of us, but my husband trusted him. Sometimes my husband would go and sleep, I'll continue speaking to him. So then, eventually I began to feel a strong attachment towards this man. And I felt that the feeling was mutual. And I realized that this was the man, kind of person I always dreamed about. Where was he all these years? And the more his status increased in my eyes, the more I started hating my husband. And I realized how ugly my husband's character was. He said, we never did any haram. All the time, just thoughts. But I eventually got so bad, I asked my husband for a divorce. He became a broken man. And my husband was devastated. My children were devastated. Problems arose in that man's family. His wife realized what was happening in his heart. She came one night to me with a knife. She wanted to kill me. She had screamed her accusations at me. He said, eventually, his marriage was about to collapse. She said, I admit that the lovely gatherings which we used to enjoy gave us the opportunity to get to know one another. At the time, it wasn't appropriate. His marriage has been wrecked, mine also. I lost everything. And now, I am more miserable than ever. I was looking for that dream, but I never got that dream. Another lady writes, she says, my husband had a group of married friends. And because of our close relationship with them, we used to get together once a week in our houses to enjoy an evening of chat. But in my house, my heart, I wasn't happy with it. All of us sitting together, men and women, we eating together. And snacks, sweet snacks, drinks of juice, and laughter. Because many of the jokes, it went beyond normal good manners. In the name of friendship, the barriers were lifted. And every now and then, one would hear suppressed laughter between a man and the husband of the other woman. The jokes were too much. Sometimes dealing with sensitive topics, such as sex and women's private parts. This was regarded as usual. He said, also I took part in there, but my conscience, I wasn't happy about it. One day it came clear how filthy and dirty this was. I got a phone call. I answered it, one of the friends in the group. I said hello to him. I said, sorry, my husband is not at home. He said, I know that. I want to speak to you. Then he started suggesting a relationship with me. I got very angry. I cursed him. I spoke. He said, don't try and show your good manners to me. Go and check on your husband's good manners and see what he's doing. So I was devastated what he said. But I pulled myself together and said, he's just trying to cause fitna and trouble between me and my husband. He said, shortly after that, I found out my husband was cheating with another woman. It was a matter of life and death as far as I was concerned. I told my husband and I said, you're not the only one who can cheat. I can also cheat. I also got a proposal. This was like a slap on my husband's face. But he knew I wouldn't do such a thing like this here. But eventually he left that woman. He came back to his wife and children. But how can I ever feel the same towards him? Who was this poor, restore respect from him in my heart? He left a huge gap in my heart. And still today I regret it. My heart still begs for mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that innocent get-togethers are in reality nothing else, nothing but innocent. There's no innocence in that day. So really, Allah ta'ala gave us tawfiq. In our homes, family parda, how much are we making family parda between cousins, brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws? When Abraul Haqsa wa rahmatullahi mentioned the brother-in-law and sister-in-law, the husband and his sister-in-law, eventually got very close to one another. He was a hadith, very pious. People left amanat by him, trust by him. He asked the muftis, I want to get married to the sister. He said, you can't get married to the sister unless your wife sits in iddat. Her iddat is finished. She was expecting. 1 hour, or 1 day before she gave birth, he gave her talaq. The minute she gives birth, her iddat is finished. He gets married to the other lady. He shaves off his beard. He steals all the amanat of people and he's gone away. He left to the country. There are not only one incident, there are many, many incidents like this here. Sahaba asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, beware of entering upon a woman. So he said, oh Nabi of Allah, what about a brother-in-law? He's a family person. He says, Alhamu al-Maut. The brother-in-law is death. So really, in our homes, Allah Ta'ala gave us tawfiq also. Once, Abraul Haqtab, rahmatullahi, two people came to, they took bed to him. So one started proper hijab in his house. Then they asked, when the other brother went to the house, so he asked, where is my sister-in-law? He said, no, you can't see, you're breaking further. So he got offended. He went to Mullah Abraul Haqtab, this man is breaking family ties. So Mullah Abraul Haqtab, rahmatullahi, said, that did you went to his house? Did he honor you nicely? Did he feed you? He said, yes, all of these things. So then what need have you got to see your sister-in-law? He said, perhaps in your heart you had something about her. Then eventually he admitted that definitely there was something in my heart regarding her. So these are just a few aspects. There are many, many other aspects. But every one of us, let us look into our lives. How much of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are we fulfilling? We think for wahish, immorality is spread amongst ourselves. But in our own homes, in our own lives, when we go out, we see people, do we ever feel that hurt in our heart? Do we ever lift up our hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, ya Allah, this fitna is taking place? Ulama say the one of the greatest means of protection is nikah. وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ. Lowering our gazes, as the Rakim Sahib rahmatullahi used to say. Allah says in the Quran, وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ. Get all the unmarried women married. And this is something we all have to think about. Mawlana Qasim al-Nawawi rahmatullahi said that for every man in this ummah, the ishara of the Quran, there will always be two women. That's why in the Quran Allah says, فَانْكِحُ مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. Get married to two, three, or four. That's the asal. Quran says polygamy is the solution to the problem. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعَدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً. But if you fear that you can't make justice, then one. So monogamy is not the asal. The asal is polygamy. Now I'm not saying everybody must go get married here. What I'm saying is somebody else gets married, we make such a big scene about it. One alim, he got married. His father-in-law is an alim. He refused to speak to his son-in-law. My brother, there's a fear of kufr. There's a fear of kufr for a person who mocks at any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Polygamy was a tariqa of all the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Today we have somebody gets married, everybody makes a big joke about it. We don't realize it, we pass a remark about these things. But really, this was the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the only solution to the problem, which is in the ummah. Because without nikah, zina becomes common amongst people. So if a person wants to get married, and he got, some people say you mustn't get married for lust. By the first nikah, why you got married? You got four wives because you got so much of lust in you. That's why you're getting married for us. No, they say you must only get married to an old woman. No, there's no such thing like that in Sharia. The Quran says you get married to two, three, and four. And fa'in khiftum, if you fear you can't make justice, not if everybody else in society, fa'in khifa, not fa'in majhul is used here. If you yourself fear you can't make justice, then the Quran Sharif says one. So I'm mentioning this here, this is the law of Sharia, the law of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we try to scuttle it, we try to say no, it's not, the asal is monogamy, or you must only have one wife, and it's not so important, and in our society it doesn't work out. There's a fear of a person's iman regarding this here. So we should be very careful regarding that matter. So this is also to make nikah common. Ulama say that if you want to make nikah common, make our nikah simple. Make nikah simple, nikah will become easy. You see, when nikah is simple, zina becomes difficult. When nikah is expensive and difficult, then zina becomes common. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. And just to conclude, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. The minimum we can do is every one of us make tawbah. Make tawbah. I got a secretary in my shop. Till now I haven't made tawbah. I'm just carrying on. I'm a very pious person. I come to the khanka, but I'm sitting and talking to my secretary every day. I go to my friend's shop. He got a secretary. I don't ever tell him once. He got pictures of all women half naked on in his shop, but I can't tell him also. At least make tawbah. The minimum we can do, all of us. And we cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat mentioned last night, when Anasha Wali Thanvi rahmatullahi's prescription, he said, I tried it out and many of my murids have got full benefit with this here. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi said, he said, every night we two rakats of salat, and he said, from the Quran Sharif, Allah has made ishara towards it. And then you ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. He said, whatever guna, you're involved in masturbation, you're involved in zina, you're involved in whatever, you can't come out of it. He said, you ask Allah ta'ala to take you out. He said, do it for a period of 2 or 3 months. Illa man taba. You make tawbah. You got iman. Wa'amila salihan. Read 2 rakats of namaz. Good action you are doing. Making dua. Fa'ulaika yubaddilullahu sayyatim hasanat. Allah will change it even into good qualities. So if a person tries this day, inshallah, whatever fault is in there, and Allah's help is with that person, there's nobody who can do anything to that person. Shaitan cannot attack that person. Allah give myself and all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhanarabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al mursalin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.